Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and we are now on the countdown. 2 weeks to the Fed meeting, 2 days to the jobs, and what's the bet? I'm taking all wagers that if the number comes out at a couple hundred thousand, that we hear from our great leader telling us what a great job that he's doing creating these new fangled minimum wage jobs as more layoffs are on the road. And we can see, I think I read a stat, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's always fun sharing, that for every job created, we've also helped 75 people get food stamps. So I think that's our great economic program that we're seeing here. Again, you can look at this in any way that you want. You can say, hey, my 401k, my IRAs are doing great. I'm thrilled. Or if you're among most whose investments are not doing as well, even though the markets continue to scream higher because they are being driven and pointed to certain stocks to push indices higher, trying to take out that high one more time, you can look at it from either side. Now, again, I don't really care. I'm not worried about it. I know I understand it, and I want you to understand it too, that this market, like every other bubble that has been created in the history of this land, will pop. Now, it doesn't mean it'll pop tomorrow. It doesn't mean it'll pop next week. Who knows? There is no answer as to when. You cannot figure out the timing of it. But just look around you and look at the destruction of this country. Look at the commodities. Look at what happens. Even if you look into our legal system, okay? Even if you're right and you own something correctly, you could lose in the court of law. Now, what does that tell you about a system that is totally based on people that only understand how to read out of a book and don't understand how the real world acts? Now, again, you know, I talked about this time and time again about it starts at our school systems. I mean, can we quit worried about what they call the core curriculum? Can we quit worrying about the nonsense and start teaching life skills? Whatever happened to home economics or woodworking or things like that? Okay, are we not going to have any more tradesmen? Is everything going to be built by a robot? Is everything going to be done on a 3D printer? So when I buy a house, I'm going to get my own 3D printer to print out my cabinets and my countertops and my bed? Or are we going to have any more workmanship in this country? Is that over? Maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll no longer have to worry about having fine work done, and everything will be plasticized and robotic, kind of like I think this administration would like to have. Because certainly we don't have anything else going on. Certainly we have more money outflowing than inflowing. So, I mean, maybe that is the new plan, the new trend, and that's to, you know, make everybody the same and they can go back to the row housing they used to build in the 40s, where every house next door was the same. And you had no drive or desire to want to, let me rephrase that, because in the 40s they had a lot of drive and desire. But, you know, now it's how long can you stay in your parents' house? How many iPhones can you buy? And how good are you at technology? Nobody cares about the finer things anymore. What happened to the pride and workmanship? What happened to building something? Okay. All we care about is how much money we can print and how much money we can borrow. Okay. Now, you know, again, you look at these bubbles, and this is a bubble. You know, again, I will go to my grave stating that this is a bubble, and it might outlive me. It's always possible. Okay. But again, the amount of people that will get hurt will always be the same crew that always gets hurt. The people that can least afford to get slaughtered will get slaughtered in this market if they're not properly hedged and taken care of. Because too many of the people that are watching the money, it was the fox watching the hen house. What do you think your chances are against the guys that are getting the big bonuses and getting paid off of your dough? Okay. Now, look, I don't criticize everybody, but I tell you, I mean, I'm looking and I'm trying to find the good. I'm trying to find out where that all that growth is coming from. I'm trying to find out why the college graduates have trouble getting jobs. You know, to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, you can talk all you want about what's going on, but at the end of the day, income has fallen. Okay. We are making less money today and paying more for the right to make less. So the great thing is you get to work more hours to make less money so that you can eat less and buy less and have trouble trying to help your kids get through college. Okay. Or better yet, okay, you can just work 24 hours a day. Maybe we can get you hepped up on some amphetamines and you can just work for the rest of your life until you finally drop. Because that seems the route we're headed. We just had, I don't know. I know that everybody's trying to make the case for Black Friday being, well, it was all internet and it was all internet shopping. But if I can read, and the jury is still out on that, but it looks to me that the overall numbers were down anyways. And what I want to know is where are the margins going to come from? Okay. Now, I can tell you, and this is true story, okay, that I got from Carson's, one of my favorite stores. Why? Because they carry every brand that I like. And they keep reducing the price on it. Okay. I'm buying stuff now today that I paid three times more for 10 years ago. Okay. Now, all I know is during the Black Friday weekend or whatever, you know, from Thanksgiving to Tuesday. Okay. I got minimum of 25 coupons, like every 3 hours from Carson's, reducing the price. As a matter of fact, I bought a winter jacket, 32 degrees they're called. I guess it's a brand. I don't know. And I bought it on Thursday or Friday. And on Monday, it was already cheaper than what I paid for it. So I called them up and I said, well, what about me? And they said, oh, well, we'll credit you. So I go, oh, great. Now what you tell me, they've got something marked at $240 retail that they're selling for $40. Okay. Now, I don't care if they're getting it for free. Where are they making any money there? Okay, I know that I don't think that the rent has been reduced. I don't think that utilities have been reduced. And I know that we're fighting for higher minimum wage. So you tell me, okay, where is the money coming from? Where is the money going to go? But I guess it doesn't matter when you have a Ponzi scheme because you just keep printing money until you try to borrow your way out of debt. And eventually, you know, things have to change. And again, they will, as they always do. This will not be a one-off. It's just always the case. And that's why I get nervous. And that's why I'm upset about what's going on. Because there's nothing going on. There's nothing good going on. And I don't just blame the guy in the White House. It's not his fault only. It's the entire system's fault. Okay? From every branch, from the bottom to the top, there's a flaw in the system. And it's the system that needs to be fixed before anything else. And until that is taken care of, there will be no fix. And that I don't see happening anytime too soon. I think you got to just look at it and understand it and realize that the damage being done to this country because of the policies that we're running, because of what we're doing, they're never irreparable, but they are going to cause some major, major heartburn down the road. Just a thought. Again, this is my time to shine, my time to bitch a little bit. But again, I'm not worried because I'm hedged and I want you to be hedged. And if you go to thebubbashow.org and check it out, you can go in the store and check out our hedging program with the Badger and myself. Again, we're looking forward to this big sell-off coming because we're going to clean up on it. We'll be happy, and we'll be able to compound and build that endowment model in our own accounts. But we're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba. We're going to lose our minds tonight. What's the dealio? Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, of course, I got to go to my friend Bill Whittle. He's got some great stuff, and I want to share it with you. So let's go right to our friend, Mr. Bill Whittle, right now.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Afterburner. I'm Bill Whittle. Well, as I woke up this morning just before taping this, news reports were just coming in of a new horrific attack, this time in Mali. Mass murder of innocent civilians were reported, and just reading the headlines, I immediately thought it's Lutheran extremists likely, or perhaps some Buddhist gunman of some kind. Turns out, the murderers were shouting Allahu Akbar as they went about their bloody business. I will say this for these Islamic terrorists, they are the least racist people on the planet. When it comes to cold-blooded slaughter of innocent civilians, they're willing to murder anybody, anywhere, regardless of race, creed, or national origin. Well, that's the world today, right? Just because someone is shouting Allahu Akbar doesn't mean someone's about to have their head cut off with a knife, but pretty much every time someone gets their head cut off with a knife, someone is shouting Allahu Akbar. When the horrific Paris attacks occurred, after the shock and horror started to subside, many people started asking if this were some kind of failure of intelligence. Was there a way to know that these attacks were going to take place, and was there a way to stop them? Well, as it turned out, the French did know that the attacks were going to occur and that there was a way to stop them. They've known that these attacks were coming days in advance of the shootings. How many days in advance? No one's exactly sure. 7,300 days, perhaps. That's 20 years. That's a pretty big failure of intelligence. Because it's been at least 20 years in France since these heavily Muslim enclaves called banlieues stopped being the home of new refugees trying to build a new life in the West and started to become ghettos of rage, shame, despair, and a growing sense of radicalism. The French social welfare state, you see, requires vast numbers of immigrants to make up for the declining birth rates associated with socialism all around the world. Four people doing less for themselves can pay for one person's cradle-to-grave benefits, but one person cannot do the same for four others. So, the base of this socialist Ponzi scheme had to be imported. Now, unfortunately, unemployed or maybe unemployable, unassimilated young Muslims with nothing to do were radicalized and started to, well, look, just so we don't cause any microaggressions that would require a trigger warning and disrupt anyone's safe spaces, they started to act out inappropriately. The failure of intelligence got a new tip only 3,600 days ago when these radicalized young Muslims decided to set France on fire back in 2005. They were kids then, they're adults now. What happened to them in terms of punishment for these crimes? Look, if it had just been nothing, that would have been a disaster, but they were rewarded, which was a catastrophe. They were rewarded not only by more benefits, but by more sympathy and indulgence and fear and ultimately more power. Now, recently, some French police went into one of these Muslim neighborhoods to arrest a few suspected rapists, wanton rape and the murder of homosexuals being two of the radicalized Islamic multicultural values that leftists everywhere are so determined to defend. The police were assaulted with rocks, the police cars were smashed, and they hightailed it out of there to triumphant sounds of Allahu Akbar. And they didn't come back with tanks. Now, to the main point. If you're one of the vast majority of law-abiding moderate Muslims, and all you see all the time is this, the crime, the rapes, the chasing away of the police, the intimidation, the unanswered calls for Sharia, the blocking of streets in prayer weekly in direct contravention of the law, if you see a Europe that has its own clergymen suggesting that they remove the crosses from their churches because they might offend these Muslim savages, a Sweden that tells their women not to dress so provocatively or to walk in groups because of the cultural differences that's making Sweden the rape capital of the world at the hands of these animals, and especially if in your own neighborhood you see a magazine called Charlie Hebdo publishing cartoons and standing up for not some fringe tradition, but for freedom of speech and expression, the foundational idea and ethic of the West. And all these murderers get in return are displays of flowers and Twitter hashtags and perfectly lovely images of the Eiffel Tower as a peace sign. What message does that send to the moderates? Islam commits mass murder and the Western people are calling for peace? The radicals are telling them daily that the West is finished, it has a death wish, and that the radicals are going to win. Whose side of the story would you believe if you were one of the moderate Muslim families that want to live in peace and may be ashamed or mortified by all of this? Who, based on the evidence, do you think is going to prevail? If the West will not defend itself And with Western reptiles like fellow cartoonist Gary Trudeau and John Kerry saying that the Hebdo murders were somehow justified or at least understandable, what does that tell those moderate Muslims? The Hebdo massacre provided 300 days of warning for these most recent attacks. What kind of a failure of intelligence is that? Now, the left tells us that fighting back against the radicals will simply radicalize the middle. You know, here in the West, one of our most abundant and renewable resources is the ever-growing annual yield of museum-grade useful idiots. Not fighting back is what's radicalizing the middle. Take the raid that captured some of these murderers just a few days ago. Europe's first woman suicide bomber, Ait Bulasan, had been a party girl. She'd been out clubbing and drinking alcohol. She knew next to nothing about Islam. So why did she join these animals? Well, she joined because they were bold, and they were daring, and they were romantic and confident, and because they believed in something, and mostly because nothing had happened to them in the past. They went around bragging about their victories and how they're going to conquer Europe and bring back the caliphate. They're heroes. Her cousin, the Paris attack mastermind Abdelhamid Abouaoud, was one of those who was doing all the bragging and showing off. When the shooting was over on that raid, they thought that he'd escaped. They thought that he'd escaped because he'd been shot so many times and blown up with so many grenades that they had to use DNA just to identify him. Party jihadist Ait Bulasan's head and spine were blown out into the street when she detonated her explosive vest. And one of these jihadi heroes was led down the street, naked from the waist down, in handcuffs. Now, what kind of message do you think that sends to the moderates? How heroic and romantic do they look now, now that we're actually fighting back? And when I say we, of course, I mean the French, the British, and the Russian warriors, really the leaders of the entire Western world, with one notable and disgraceful exception. You know, we fought the Nazis, who'd never attained more than 50% of the vote in Germany before coming to power, but who had pulled 98% of the vote after they had radicalized the middle. And we defeated Germany in World War II. 7% of that country consisted of actual Nazi party members, but no one opposed them. Western liberal idiots just appeased them and excused them, with one notable and honorable exception. So the Nazis radicalized the middle and took over the country. And when we fought them, we didn't have to kill every German to do it. And contrary to the cowardice and moral inversion of today's American left, we didn't pull German families out of their homes here in America and beat them to death with tire irons either. Not fighting back is the failure of intelligence of the progressive left, led by their progressive president, the current Secretary of State, and the nominee for the Democrats in 2016. The rest of the world is not that stupid. Not anymore.
And of course, we love what Bill's got to say. And, you know, agree with him or not, he's telling it the straight story. We are not, as we talked about yesterday, we are not doing our share of handling this. Now, being the most powerful nation in the world, being one that is, you know, in theory, the most democratic, where everybody should get a vote and everybody's got a fair and equal opportunity, we're doing nothing. And I think that is more of a problem than just about anything else. I think when you ignore and you hope things go away, you know, very similar to what's going on in here in this country economically. We continue to ignore the problems, hoping that they will disappear. And as we all know from our own experiences in life, problems just don't go away. Problems need to be dealt with. And if we're not going to deal with these problems, when every general, every colonel that comes on air says, hey, we need to do this, and our leader says, well, I don't know, and I'm not sure, and I'm not going to. No, I mean, that is a problem. And that's just something to think about. Again, not to bring in depressing news, but I think it's important that we understand exactly what is going on in this country. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you check out BubbaTrading.com or TheBubbaShow.org and see what we're talking about, because, again, it's important. We've got a lot of new things going on, and we're offering a futures program as well. Catch The Bubba Show at LibertyTalk.fm on demand anytime you want it. We're going to stop out of a break and come back with more from Mr. Bill Whittle after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. It's Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we were listening to Mr. Bill Whittle, and we're going to come back and talk to more of him. But, of course, I think one of the big topics of conversation is our president. Again, you got to respect the office, but I don't necessarily have to respect the man, because the man is treating this as if it was a tinker toy. The man is treating this whole country as though it's his own private play chest and playground, and that he doesn't feel compelled nor feel it necessary that he needs to listen to anybody that he brought in to help make decisions. I think that there's a lot more problems that need to be addressed, and unfortunately, he is not the man to do them. I think you have to realize at some point, no matter whether you voted for him or not, whether you like him or not, that the way things are being handled is not good. But let's go to Mr. Bill Whittle and get his views on this whole situation right now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with my friend Andrew Klavan, who normally wears a blazer, but who today is wearing the family crest of the Klavan family, which, if you zoom in, can see is actually a wet gerbil rampant eating its own tail, apparently.
There's a long story behind that.
But please. I'm sure it has nothing to do with it.
I'm not allowed to tell it.
No, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's when the Bosnian Klavans slaughtered all of the French Klavans.
A bloody mess.
Yeah, it's a horrible mess. Good God, I can't bear to go on. Andrew, your topic today comes from the pluralistic, diverse, and non-objective men, women, and children that make up the PJTV producers.
I've met the children. I haven't met any of the others.
The parents just drop them off and leave them.
That's how it
pick
works.
Pick them up, and, you know, get paged, and off they go. If you could remove one person in the world from power, who would you remove? Does everybody count as one person? Or did you say everybody?
Just pull down the entire Capitol under the ground.
I have a vote. I'm curious to know who you would.
You know, I have to say, it would be Obama.
Yes.
Even now. I mean, he's coming to the end of his presidency. He's got a Twitter account, a Facebook account, so you know how he's going to be spending his post-presidency, you know. That's right. You know, I'm still here. You know, pay attention. But you know, I've never hated Obama the way some people do, in the sense that I've never thought he was evil. I've never thought he was a super genius or anything like this, you know, who's like manipulating the world. I don't believe in super geniuses, basically.
No, I don't
manipulate the world. I think he is exactly what he seems to be. He is a left-wing, you know, junior college academic who brilliantly parlayed his color into high office. And I think when he got into high office, he has been as incompetent and buffoonish as possible. Mm-hmm. And all his theories have been disproved, but he didn't have, like, as even Carter had, he didn't have the wherewithal to change them, to change his ideas in keeping with reality, because I seriously think he suffers from narcissistic personality
disorder.
And he cannot take the ego hit of being wrong. The reason I say him as opposed to somebody who is evil, like Assad, is because his decisions have been so wrong that I've stopped blaming the people who think he's a secret Muslim counteragent, because you can almost make that argument. He's made so many bad decisions that you could almost make that argument. His signature thing at home, Obamacare, is falling like dominoes. Mm-hmm. It's just collapsing. And it's a catastrophe for people. The stuff he has done in the Middle East, which really is what his legacy is going to be, is a blood-drenched mess. It has elevated the worst elements in the Middle East, which are the worst elements anywhere, and destroyed it. I mean, they're now talking about the Christian community, one of the most ancient Christian communities on earth, going to be wiped out within 10 years. Israel is really struggling and just hanging on to its life, waiting for Obama to go. I think that removing him from power, even if it meant elevating Joe Biden, and I'd like to think by kind of unanimous vote, everybody would just declare him too stupid to be president and give it to somebody else. But even if it elevated Joe Biden, I think I've never seen a person who's made so many bad decisions and bad mistakes. And it's simply, I believe, because his philosophy is wrong. His philosophy is it's un-American, it's anti-American, it's un-American, it's anti-American, it's anti-humanist, and it's simply not workable. It's something that you can sit around in a classroom and win the love of undergraduates by proposing, but it's not something you bring to the real world. And I just think it's such a mess that the minute he can be stopped, legally, he should be stopped.
Well, people say you hate him because he's black. It's like, that's the only thing I liked about the guy. I
mean, that was the only thing I liked about him.
Yeah. It's a shame that we couldn't have gotten a real black president, somebody who went through some of the actual disadvantages of slavery or racism, the legacy of slavery and racism in the South, that kind of thing, instead of a doobie-smoking, spoiled narcissist who was raised overseas and who went to the most expensive private school in the United States. I mean, the guy's a complete zero. I do hate him. I hate him because his, what you're talking about, being the Muslim sympathizing super traitor mega genius, you can say he isn't one of those things, but if his decisions are all exactly the same as if they were, then what's the actual difference?
Well, there's something to that.
Right? Yeah, I mean, if everything he does is to destroy American powers, destroy American prestige, destroy the American economy, weaken the military, he's forcing all the warriors out of the military. These are people that are ready to give their lives and have given their lives to this country. They're committing suicide in record numbers because they want a victory that was then taken away by Obama, who ran on a peace platform, so he can't conduct a simple status of forces agreement in Iraq. It's not just the soldiers that lost their lives and the soldiers that are continuing to commit suicide because of this victory that they lost their friends for, and now that's being taken away by his simple narcissism. It's the millions of people over there who are being murdered by ISIS every day as a result of his determination to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. And I could go on and on with this all day. You can find out a lot about a person by what they achieve when they achieve their life goals, and apparently this guy's commitment to social justice consists of finding the most exclusive golf courses in the world and playing with the whitest, richest people he can find.
Oh, he's been a disaster for black people in this country. It's just amazing when you look at the numbers, the median income down, the householding, the house ownership down, the employment down, everything. It's just been a disaster. And, you know, by the way, when you say whether I hate him or not, I despise him. But, you know,
I don't know what the distinction is.
Well, I mean, I just look down upon him. I think he is a fool. And I think he's a man who parlayed political correctness way beyond the Peter Principle, way beyond the level of his incompetence.
You see, if he were an actual socialist like Fidel Castro or somebody like that, I'd have more respect for him. I think he'd be completely wrong, but he would have some sort of internal character. He'd have some sort of internal motivation that's bigger than his personal ego,
which is all there is to the guy.
I used to seriously wonder why the president of the Harvard Law Review hadn't written any law reviews, because when he was president of Harvard Law Review, he didn't write any. Mm-hmm. And this goes to the stupid aspect of him, too. He wrote law reviews, Drew. You don't get to be president of Harvard Law Review and not write law reviews. The reason that none of them were published is because they're unpublishable. because that 106 IQ may have gotten him some attention at Columbia University, and it may have made him look good at cocktail parties, and it may have made Harvard said, hey, we've got this charming black man who we're going to put in our figurehead position to show how progressive we are. But when it comes time to write an actual law review for Harvard Law, they began to realize that what they had here was simply so mediocre that if we publish this, we're going to be laughed out of the room. The guy's a catastrophe.
Yeah, and I think I really do think that it's amazing that you can be shielded from reality, so rise to the presidency while being so shielded from reality that it never occurs to you to say, oh, that's not the way things work. That's actually, that actually doesn't meet reality. My ideas don't meet reality. I have to change them. That happens to all of us in life, right? All of us have to change our ideas to conform to reality. He's never had to do that.
He's never had to because these doors have opened across the street for him. When has he ever been confronted in his entire life ever?
Yeah, it's true.
Never. Coddled little child, and he's got a lot more damage to do before he's done.
Yeah.
That's all we have time for today.
And of course, you can express your own opinion there. I think that Bill and Andrew Klavan said it all. You know, like him or not, voted for him or not, I don't know how anybody can be happy with the way things are going. Okay. Again, I'm not putting my views on yours. I look at it from the standpoint of who we are and the people that we are. And to me, it doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense. To me, I think that he is strictly an antagonistic. I've said this on air. I mean, he is the most antagonistic leader of our time. He certainly doesn't have regard for anybody but himself. And, you know, the old, you know, silver spoon. And as you heard how he treated, you know, the people in this country. I mean, again, you can, everybody likes to voice their opinion in their way. And, you know, you can, and I'm going to stay, I mean, I think my opinions are fairly clear on the matter of this. But again, this is something that you have to think back and think about yourself. This is something that you have to wonder, you know, are we going in the right direction? Is this really the America that we all grew up to know and love? Okay, and there are things that I've seen because of this administration, even to the fact where if you ever watched Cavuto and you saw this young woman, a young girl, whatever, that was saying that, well, we should pay 90% into taxes so that all children can get free college, no debt, and big minimum wage. Now, again, these are parts of lunacy. In my opinion, there I will express my opinion. These are ignorant, stupid ideas that what happened to the pride in ownership, the pride in working, the pride in building a life that was your own. And in my opinion, you're entitled to nothing unless you work for it. That's just me. Again, I love Bill and I love what he has to say, but that's just me. Okay, which is why we teach the market's the way we teach him, which is why we talk the way we talk, because this is America and we have a chance. This is still the land of opportunity. It's only being slightly pushed aside at the moment by the man in charge. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break and we'll be right back. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, our theme today has been talking to our friend, Mr. Bill Whittle, and someone that we have a great deal of respect for and always enjoy the views that he and company and crew bring to the airwaves. I think that, again, it's important to understand. And again, everybody in this country, you have the chance to make your own decisions. And that is the beauty of being an American. But let's go listen to what Mr. Bill Whittle has to say now.
Well, the news has been so unremittingly nasty lately that I thought I'd spend this week's three-part trifecta not on something frivolous, but perhaps on something hopeful. Now, as most of you know by now, I grew up in a magical time here in America called the Space Age. And for those of us that did, there's a sad term for something very dear to us, and that term is the lost future. So I'd like to spend the next three episodes of Trifecta trying to reclaim as much as we can of that lost future. Now, this kind of clean, luxurious, politically stable future was best illustrated by an artist named Sid Mead, whose vision of the world looked not only idyllic, but attainable. His work influenced millions of viewers and hundreds, if not thousands, of other artists. So in part one, we're going to deal with a kind of the confident look of that place, that lost future. Part two, we'll be talking about reclaiming some of the lost philosophy and morality. And in our members-only part three, we'll talk about what was nearly invisible in that lost future of gleaming, glittering chrome and should be invisible again, namely politics. So let's bring in our fellow time travelers, Steve Green and Scott Ott, to begin our journey backward into the future. Gentlemen, when you get right down to it, the future looks so powerful and so graceful and so luxurious and gleaming and clean because of the unspoken presence of essentially unlimited clean energy. Now, our experiments recently with wind technology have produced ugly farms of ever-decaying, bird-annihilating wind turbines and also produced huge, expensive, unreliable solar stations that require billions of dollars in bailouts and, you know, all kinds of support from the government just to stay solvent. So, Steve, the few nuclear reactors that are still in operation here in America and abroad were designed half a century ago. You know, their new designs now using uranium and especially thorium, they simply cannot melt down. And thorium waste especially has been easy to protect. Our uranium waste is well within our technological, if not our political, means to dispose of safely and permanently. What would you do to reclaim that lost future, that energy policy? What would you put in place if you wanted to have enough juice to be able to irrigate the deserts with desalinated water, just as one example of what we thought would be easy before the left taught us how to hate ourselves?
Yeah, that vision of the future that we lost, for me, it was it wasn't the artist you mentioned. It came from a science fiction adventure movie that came out in the mid-70s, maybe the greatest science fiction adventure movie of all time. Now, refer, of course, to Logan's Run.
I knew it.
For me, the future... Yeah, for me, the future was going to be Jenny Agutter wearing a translucent mini toga and replicators Agutter. And just heaven on earth. But it was that same vision. It was clean. It was fun. It was sexy. You didn't have to die at 30. And I miss that. And, you know, we've talked, I think, about thorium reactors before. You bury one in the backyard. You can make them about the size of a phone booth, power your neighborhood for 40 or 50 years. And what we've lost is our imagination and our scale. You know, it was dreamers who thought, let's build the Hoover Dam. Let's build the Tennessee Valley Authority. Let's create all of this electricity for all of these people and do it on the cheap in a long-lasting way. That's what we're missing. The tools we have now far surpass anything we had in the 30s or the 60s. But we've lost the vision. We've got to get back that sense of epic scale. We look at this drought in California. If we'd have been thinking ahead in the 1970s, we wouldn't even notice. The water would be flowing uphill instead of down.
Yeah, we'd be growing cotton in the Mojave if we wanted to, because there's not any shortage of seawater and cost us nothing to do it. Scott, you know, the great
riches.
Think of all the riches that we've lost. Scotty, you know, the great unspoken miracle of the modern age is the astonishing breakthrough in the domestic production of oil and clean burning natural gas. You know, we were told peak oil, we were told we were going to be out by 1970, but right now there's likely more domestic oil available to us today than there was when the first drill bit hit the soil in Pennsylvania over 150 years ago. That's what innovation and technology has done for us. Now, if I told you there was enough energy available beneath our feet to not only pay off our debt, but also run this civilization at current growth rates for another 100 years at minimum, you'd think we'd go out and have a parade about it. So why don't we?
Well, there's a whole interest group that is devoted to the destruction of that way of life, primarily because they're devoted to the destruction of capitalism, and they're devoted to the destruction of capitalism because that relies on a decentralized free market philosophy that is antithetical to an elitist top-down direction of all of society. And I think that if you want to look at why this won't work, by the way, even if the government got off our backs in the United States of America and freed us up to explore the way we should and to do nuclear energy development the way we should, the reason why we wouldn't even pump that oil out of the ground, because there's not enough of a market for it, because there's too much tyranny and too much Islamic government around the world. Right now, our future, our development is being held down by largely Muslim tyrants around the world who are killing their own country's development. If the Muslim religion would disappear tomorrow, it would be entirely salutary to the global economy as well as to the United States of America. And if countries like the former Soviet Union and those places that still have kind of a heavy hand of government were to actually be allowed to blossom and to flourish, they would have such a need for energy that market prices for our oil and natural gas would go up, and we would be able to produce unlimited amounts of it.
That's just so remarkable, Scott. You know, and also, if people would just for a minute think, if you actually think that the number one security threat facing the world and this country is global warming, as this president has said time and time again, to the open laughter of Egyptian commentators, among other people, just the open hysterical belly laughter of people in the Islamic world. What they don't realize is, if we don't understand that this Islamic threat is one of the primary threats we face, there's not going to be any economy to warm the globe. You know, these people don't burn a lot of electricity because they don't have any civilization. You know, my friends, I've said this many times before, energy is civilization. Clean energy is clean civilization. And even if the CO2 really was causing runaway climate change, unlimited energy means planting young forests everywhere and CO2 scrubbers and be able to do high altitude cloud seeding and all the rest to lower the temperatures if we wanted to. That lost future was stolen from us by the left. And in our next segment, we're going to look at how they destroyed or at least severely damaged the sense of self-confidence that put us on the moon and promised a life of plenty for everybody, no matter what we look like. We'll take a look at that in part two.
So as you look and we talk about, you know, where we've gone and as you listen to, you know, Bernie Sanders, for example, every word out of his mouth is global warming. OK, is it not time to worry about what's happening now? We've destroyed so many industries and so many jobs because of the viewpoints of the few. OK, now, again, I don't say that we should not have and address the issue. But there are ways to do it without taking an entire industry and putting them out of business, okay, because you have a certain viewpoint. I think it's something, again, if you go back into a leadership issue, okay, something that this country now is sorely lacking, the ability to lead the masses, I think that really tells more of the story than anything else. And quite frankly, I think it's sad. I think it's sad where we are headed. I think it's sad knowing how great that this country is. I think it's sad knowing where we should be. But again, when you get involved and you have basically people taking care of you that really do not understand what happens when this happens, I think that creates a bigger problem. And I hope you've enjoyed our presentation with Bill Whittle. I think that, again, it's a great opinion. I'd be curious to hear yours. I think it's always important that as Americans, we get to share our opinions. We get to discuss what we think, because that's what being American is. You have the freedom to speak and talk about what you're thinking. Make sure you catch The Bubba Show on demand at libertytalk.fm. That is our partner, and we love to have you check them out. They've got some other great shows as well. That'll do it for today. This has been The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We certainly hope you enjoyed it. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later. I got a feeling.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.